Okay. So, hi, I'm Dove, and here because I'm a sexaholic and ill but getting better. Thank God. So one day at a time since February 28th, 1997, and it was suggested that I discuss or share rather.
I'm sorry. I think the connection was interrupted there. It was requested or suggested that I talk about the topic of dating, and what do you say on dates? It's a big issue, obviously. Very big issue, obviously. Because it's really, it really touches on a few matters simultaneously. I'm not sure if I'm coming in here, if the connection is still going. Okay, well, I hope the connection's still going. I wish there were people on the phone call who could. All right. Let me just I'm gonna shut my Wi-Fi off. Sorry about the interruption, folks. I'm going to turn my Bluetooth on. And hope that it connects properly. Okay.
Okay. All right, good. So it seems to be working, right? Okay, so the topic I'm going to, as just Hashem, discuss, share about, thoughts about today is the topic of dating and what to do, what to share about, what to say when you're on a date, what not to say when you're on a date. The topic is a much wider, more complex topic than it appears, in my opinion. And the reason for that is because what we're talking about here is not just what you say when you're on a date if you have masturbation and sex problems or porn problems. It's not just that. There's much more to this. If you're dating a guy or a gal, you know, if you're a guy or whatever, so, you know, if you're a woman and you have this problem and you're dating a guy, or if you're a man and you have this problem and you're dating a gal, so then what you're doing is really you're preparing for a marriage, really. Whatever you tell your prospective spouse, your possible spouse on the date, is really just going to be the very beginning, if you get married, okay, of what you're going to be telling them when you're married to them. So if you lie or minimize, then you're setting a pattern of lying or minimization, which is lying. You're setting a pattern there, and that is, you know, what are you going to do after you get married? Are you going to tell them only a little tiny details when you're going out? And then when you're married, you're going to tell the spouse everything. Or is your plan to not really be telling the spouse anything that they don't need to know, and you give your information on a need-to-know basis, and that's the way that you believe, that's the way that you're going to be, firzach is the Yiddish word for it, that's the way you're planning to firzach, that's the way you're planning to actually function and go. Is that what's going on here? You know, or are you, or is your plan that after you're married, you're going to give, you're going to have a much more open and honest relationship with this person? But now that you're dating, you're just going to be saying Rashi Prakim, of course. Why would you want to tell more than what's necessary if, after all, you're just dating? So this is a consideration, and it needs to be understood that that's part of the, that's part of what's going on here. The reason that I'm bringing that up now is because hey, I'm just talking about dating, because there's no such thing as just, you're just dating. There's no such thing. If you're dating as a religious Jew, you know, you're going on a shidduch or whatever it is, you know, you're dating somebody that your friends set you up with, you know, so then you're obviously, you shouldn't be dating at the age of 17, unless you're planning on getting married at the age of 17, which is probably idiotic, but, you know, unless in your circles everybody gets married at that age, okay, I understand. You know, in certain circles, particularly Chassidish circles, it's not an unusual thing to be married at a younger age than in, say, Yeshivish circles, because that's what everybody's doing. There's a support system, you know, for that, and that's very normal. But if you're not in that kind of a society, if that's not your thing, if that's not your situation, then you know, you don't have proper support. You obviously shouldn't be dating at an age where, you know, you're too young to be married. So in other words, and also, you obviously, everybody who's a firm Jew understands that the thing that leads to intermarriage is dating shegetzes or shikses, right? You know, if you are okay with making friends, becoming friends with Gentiles of the opposite sex, if that's something that's normal for you, that's what you do, your friends, you go out for tea or coffee or a drink at a bar or sit together with a bunch of game, you know, men and women at a football game, etc. And, you know, if that's what's normal for you to do, you're probably going to befriend them, you're probably going to be dating with them, you're probably going to, you know, as they say in the vernacular, fall in love with someone, and those are the people who are more likely to obviously intermarry. So from a simple, you know, religious Jewish perspective, you obviously don't date with goyim because that's the way you're going to end up marrying a goy. Why? Dating is just dating. But we understand that that's what leads to marriage sometimes. And, you know, and by the same token, you don't date unless you're ready to get married. You don't start, you know, you don't see anybody who's in a firm circles where people get married in their 20s. Normal Yidden like that don't say to their kids, well, you know, you're 15, you really should start be dating girls just to get used to the concept of dating girls, you know, or to a girl, you know, oh, you should really, you know, I know you're only 17, 16, but, you know, you're 16, you're going to be probably getting married in 3 years, you know, 2-3 years, you know, 4 years, you know, you're only 16, but you should practice, you know, go out with some guys, go out on some dates. Well, you know, we'll drive you there. We'll drive you back. We want you to start dating guys to get used to it. You don't say that. Why? Why don't people say that? Because they know that dating can lead to marriage, and you shouldn't be dating unless the person that you're dating is someone who it's possible that you might marry. And you certainly shouldn't be dating at all if you yourself will not be getting married anytime in the very near future. You can't possibly be getting married to the person that you would be dating with. So so dating is obvious. So obviously when you're on a date, it's not marriage, but it's possible marriage. It's possible marriage from a religious Jewish perspective, at least. Dating is a possible marriage situation. You might be getting married and spending the rest of your life and perhaps afterlife with this person, creating family that is going to be the greatest defining characteristic of who you are and what you are. your children, your grandchildren, your accomplishments as an adult are going to be shared with this person. So this is a big deal, you know. So, you know, that has to be understood. Dating and the state of being married to that person are not two completely different things that have nothing to do with one another. How you relate to this person now does not determine how you're going to relate to them when you're married necessarily, except it affects it tremendously. It sets the stage for the nature of the relationship, because suddenly when you get married, she's not going to turn into a different woman, that he or she was just a young lady, and now when you get married, she's going to turn into a woman, and suddenly the relationship will be on a different basis. No, that's a lie. That's fantasy. What you set is a relationship, and how you relate is how you relate, period. The way you're going to relate will change and grow, except if you start on a false basis, you will continue on a false basis, and it becomes more and more painful to defalsify, to correct the basis upon which your relationship is built as time goes on. It doesn't get easier and easier because you get closer and closer. It gets harder and harder because you get closer and closer. And the lies have to continue more desperately, more elaborately, and it's more and more painful to actually change and say, whoops, guess what? I didn't tell you the whole truth before. What? You didn't tell? Why? Well, what else didn't you tell me that was true? Okay, that has to be understood. Guys in particular I can relate to them more. Guys in particular, I feel, have a harder time with this because we're essentially loners. We're in a very competitive situation in yeshiva, whether we realize it or like to admit it or not. There's competition, whether it's actual functional competition or just emotional competition in our own heads, there's competition, sorry. And that creates isolation. Competition creates isolation. It creates me against them mentality. It creates a lot of problems because it separates between one person and the other. Because, well, you can't tell them everything, because you can't admit all your weaknesses and all your fears to your fellows, because they're going to laugh at you and they're going to feel superior, which they may be, because not everybody shares the same fears. And when you find out what their fears are, you're going to realize, oh, my God, they're so weak in some way and I'm so weak in another way, you know. But so it's very hard to it's very important to realize that this honesty thing is a bear, okay? For people who've been living their lives in sort of like a bubble, you know? And when a guy gets married, he's really being introduced to an entirely new concept of opening him up to someone else. Even to his roommate, he hasn't been sharing everything. He's been sharing one thing. Let's say he admits his sex problems or something to a friend. Oh, I admitted my whole... Blah, blah, blah. But you didn't also admit to the same person your fear of death, your fear, your hatred of your parents, your hatred of this, your hatred of that, your fear of this, your fear of that, you know, your wishes, your dreams, everything. That didn't intersect all with the same person. And even if it did with a roommate, the roommate knows that he's going to be going off and living his life. Or if you're a girl, you know, the roommate's going to be going off and living her life. And it doesn't affect them at all. They may care a lot, but it doesn't matter to them, practically speaking, what your tzaras are. And what your weaknesses and strengths are, that's not relevant to them. They're not nogeya bedavar, you know, but to the spouse, it's very, very, all these things about you are very, very real and relevant, whether they like to admit that or not, whether they're strong or not. They're still, they affect them directly. And that's something that changes what the honesty and openness means. So that has to be understood. Okay, that's just the background. As far as like what to say, there's a formula. I'll give you a formula. You know, you know, a lot of good it'll do you, you know, to have a formula. You know, well, they said on Guard Your Eyes that I should say this, so okay, here I go. You know, it's not, real life doesn't work that way. Sorry, you know. But I'll tell you as close as I can to a formula. Number one. Are you going to use the word addict when you speak to this person? Did Guard Your Eyes and the information on the website, unfortunately, convince you, even though you might not be an addict, that you're an addict because you have a penis and you masturbate and you have a Yetzer Hara, so you masturbate once in a while, which everybody does once in a while. You know, everybody has, practically everybody has. You know, or that you look at porn, practically everybody has. At least for guys. Come on. You know, and Guard Your Eyes convinced you, oh, there's a terrible addiction in Klal Yisrael, so you're an addict now. And now you're going to tell the girl that you're dating that you're an addict, and you go on the wall of honor on Guard Your Eyes, and you made a top six shavua that you're going to stick, you know, onion slices in your eyeballs if you act out again, and give $1,000 to Guard Your Eyes if you look at naked people. If they're completely naked, but if they're only 90% naked, so then you're only going to give $100 to Guard Your Eyes. And, you know, and if they're, you know, if it's a moving naked, if it's a moving picture, then you'll give, you know, and if it's still pictures, then it's not as bad. But, you know, if you do it twice, still pictures, that equals to moving pictures once. And therefore, that's is that what you're doing? Is that what you're going to tell some girl? You're going to freak this poor girl out. You're going to freak her out because you're not an addict. You're just stupidly accepting what this website is telling you for advertising purposes, and you're applying it to yourself. That's a huge mistake. There's a lot of great information on Guard Your Eyes. Guard Your Eyes is a wonderful, wonderful place for many people for many different reasons. But it's not good for anyone who's not an addict to be told that they're an addict, ever. And if the information on Guard Your Eyes leads you, who probably is not an addict, even though you sin sometimes, that doesn't make you an addict, you know. If that's your situation, and Guard Your Eyes has convinced you that I'm an addict, it's a terrible addiction in Klal Yisrael, and I'm part of Klal Yisrael, so I'm an addict also because I've also sinned. That means I'm an addict, and I can't stop forever. So, well, you can't stop saying Lashon Hara forever, can you? Would you ever swear to God that you're never going to speak Lashon Hara ever again? Would you ever make a shavua? Not a toxic shavua, which is only for 3 days, and this, and it has a tanai that you can reverse, and here and there, another kinsimachim. I'm saying, can you ever swear to God that you're never going to tell Lashon Hara again? No, you can't, because you know you probably will, because ain't sadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseto v'lo yecheta. Therefore, doesn't that mean you can't stop speaking Lashon Hara forever? So does that make you an addict, because you can't stop masturbating forever? Because you might do it again? And therefore, that proves you're an addict. If you can't stop forever, that means you're an addict. That's circular, nutty reasoning. And a lot of people use that reasoning on Guard Your Eyes and therefore say, oh, everybody's an addict who can't stop forever. It's retarded, to use the New York vernacular. Just plain stupid. Ridiculous. Highly destructive perspective. Highly destructive. And you're going to get these guys, and I know it's happened, who are not addicts, who are just Yidden struggling, just like every Yid has ever struggled, just like every Gadol has struggled. He's all struggled with things. The Chafetz Chaim admitted that he struggled with Lashon Hara himself. Miyom Amdi Al Daiti, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But how do you define Miyom Amdi Al Daiti that he says? What does that mean? You know, when did things finally click? Who knows? Who knows? You know? The reality is that people sin. People make mistakes and people do stupid things. People are selfish. Everyone is to some degree. And Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseto V'lo Yecheta. Even a Yid who is technically much more mitzvahs than Averet, but he still has plenty of Averet. It's so immature and silly to go thinking, I must be an addict because I just masturbated automatically. No. But if you're not an addict, so then people say, oh, you're telling people they're not an addict, so then they're going to keep doing it. I never said that. If you're not an addict, you need to go to a therapist because therapy can help you. If you're not an addict, then for God's sakes, get help. Well, what are you saying? That if you are an addict, then you shouldn't get help or that you should only do 12 steps? No, I'm not saying anything that you have to do. All I'm saying is that mimanafshach, if this issue bothers you, if it doesn't bother you and you're just standing, you want to come and guard your eyes for fun and for chizuk and shmizuk, then for God's sake, don't say that you're an addict, because that's obviously patently false. You're just a yid and you admit you're just coming on for chizuk, and that's it. Say it. Admit that that's the truth. You're a sinning Jew, occasionally sinning Jew. Like every other Jew. What, only on Yom Kippur we say, Vanachnu Chatanu, and this, Gedolim have signed letters, Va'ani, Va'avonosai Harabim. What is that, a joke? Are they joking? The Rebbe never did any Averis. Yes, he did. Stupid. That's what he's writing. That's what this tzaddik, who's a big person in Christ, Va'ani, Va'avonosai Harabim. My God, why do you have to assume he's a liar? His Averis. Oh, why do you have to assume that he's just kidding? Why do you have to assume that the Yom Kippur davening, we go through the whole Yom Kippur davening, but it's just a joke. Only on Yom Kippur, when I'm fasting and I'm really down and the chips are down, do we kind of paint the picture in such a negative way that we're Chorshe Resha, and there's Chazan Shalom. It's not true, really, but it's just because it's Yom Kippur that I say that. You're a liar and a fake. It's crazy. Your Yom Kippur davening is false. Either it's true or it's not. And it's not just true on Yom Kippur. It's true all the time. It's the truth. Admit the truth. If that's what you say, it's true. So then why pretend you're a tzaddik all year? Well, and a person shouldn't say, and this. Don't worry. Ain't other mesim atzmo Russia. There's no way. Don't worry. You have enough insurance in that regard. It's time to admit your frailty and live that way. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need, this is what the Kutzker meant when he said, I prefer a guy who is a Russia and admits that he's a Russia over a tzaddik who admits that he's a tzaddik, who knows that he's a tzaddik. It's funny. But you know what the Kutzker means there. He prefers a Russia, even, who is a Russia, who knows that he's a Russia, over a tzaddik who thinks that he's really a tzaddik. Because the Kutzker is all about MS. Not MS, MS, because it's a chatzis segel for the Aleph. But anyway, so the Slash MS, I heard, said that it's, that sheker is MS and MS is sheker. Because if you pronounce the word MS that way, it's a chatas segol on the aleph, and the emphasis is on the mem, MS, not on the aleph, MS, So it was a joke. But I heard it was a joke that Sus MS said, but he's not really kidding. It's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. But anyway, getting back to the point, it's the honesty is there. This is the honesty. This is what all Yidden are. This is what all people are. This is why we can say V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and it doesn't mean only a tzaddik yisod olam. A friend, you should love him kamocha. When he's a tzaddik yisod olam, it means V'ahavta l'reacha b'mitzvahs. Oh, but maybe he did bad things. Well, we all do bad things. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? That's what sinas chinam means. Sinas chinam comes from hating another person. Well, I'm supposed to hate him. He's a Russia. I saw him tearing toilet paper on Shabbos, and he's a Russia, and this. Or, you know, he said Lashon Hara about me or about somebody else. I have a heter to hate him. It's a mitzvah to hate him, even. And then it's ki sirecha mar sonacha, rabitzach, that's the sine. And then, almost every yid will fall into that category if you get to know them well enough. So then where the heck does the mitzvah v'ahavdol re'echa kamocha ever apply? It almost never applies for you then. Because almost every yid is a mitzvah to hate, because almost every yid does an avera, and he, unless he's a talmud chacham mamish, then he probably, you can be mahar olav that he's, that he didn't do tshuva yet. Only a talmud chacham, you have to think that he did tshuva the next, you know, by the next day. So then I said, I don't have to love any Jew practically, except for maybe the Rosh Hashiva, the Rebbe, or the Rebbe, or this or that, and that's it. It's a crazy view. That's where sinas chinam comes from. I had a teacher once who said, sinas chinam doesn't mean just hating someone for no reason. That's called nuts. You hate people for no reason. That means you're a nut. Only a nut hates people for absolutely no reason. Sinas chinam means that you have a reason. And the Torah is calling it chinam. He davens too loud. He sat next to me. He was in a bad mood, and he beeped at me while he was driving. You know, it's like, oh, and therefore, you know, you feel the reacha kamocha doesn't apply to him. Ugh. Kabdehu v'chashdehu. You know, the havdol reacha kamocha applies to the kabdehu v'chashdehu people too. So the connection is, you understand, I'm just trying to shine a light on reality here. Perspective, you know. Hang on one second. Okay, back to the call. I'm trying to get a reality perspective over here. Please connect it back to what I was saying. Understand the picture that I'm bringing over here. You're not an addict just because you sin. You're no more a Russia than the next guy. Now, if you're an addict, if you see you're an addict, and how do you find out whether you're an addict or not? I'll talk about that some other time, okay? I'm not going to talk about that right now. But the bottom line is, the simple, basic definition is, if you see that this habit is something that you tried, I mean, if you're not an addict and you have a habit doing it, it's pretty simple. I'll just say it. What the heck? If you think you're probably not an addict, if you're hearing what I'm saying and you're saying, well, then I'm probably not an addict, but I am masturbating an awful lot. I am looking at porn an awful lot. And you're not doing anything about it except going on to guard your eyes with the verstunkener toxic schwurs and giving them money and still doing it and still dry. And maybe you're not, maybe you didn't look at porn, but you're thinking about it all day long and it's driving you crazy that you're not. And you're holding on by the skin of your teeth for 90 days. I want my 90 days, you know, and it's driving you crazy. And that's all you think about. Something's wrong with you, buddy. Something's wrong with you. You need counseling. Get yourself to a good from therapist or to a goy therapist, whether it's a man or a woman. The women are usually better, by the way. Whether it's a man or a woman, get to a therapist who is safe and admit the entire truth about everything that you're doing. Don't hold back because it's a chelal Hashem to admit that I was staring at a woman driving and this and that. You know, it's like, no. It's a chil Hashem that I looked at my sister while she was in the shower. It's a chil Hashem. It's too embarrassing. Embarrassing here, embarrassing there. Rebbe Melech in the Tzedel Kut in Osh Yud Gimel says to get a Mora Derech or a Chaver Ne'eman. Chaver Ne'eman. And in with him everything. Va'al techachem v'mena shum dover mipnei habusha. Don't hold back anything because of busha. Certainly not because of chil Hashem. Admit the truth. And going to another yeshiva guy is not going to help you because he's also jerking off. It's not going to help you, okay? Get yourself to a therapist. If you're not an addict, then mimanafsha, get help because you have some kind of a problem. Oh, well, if everybody has the problem, so then everybody has the problem. So then what? Whoa. A minute ago, you were you were listening to the Guard Your Eyes videos and crying your eyes out because you were thinking about all the, oy vey, I'm going to burn in hell forever, and this is the worst Avera of all the Averas, which it obviously isn't, because if you would, what, I mean, is masturbation as bad as strangling a child, God forbid, to death? Really? Really? Masturbating is worse than, but the Zohar HaKadosh says, I believe in the Zohar HaKadosh too, thank God. I do. But that's not what it means. It doesn't, it's the worst Avera, it's the worst Avera. Excuse me. What does that mean? Try to find it out, because you know that it obviously doesn't mean it's the worst possible Avera you can possibly do, morally. Obviously, you know that. There's a special place in hell for somebody who's like a Hitler. And you're saying that, no, I masturbated, so that means I'm worse. I did a worse thing. You're out of your mind. That's not what it means. Learn what it means. Study it and learn what it means. Don't be so immature that you're... Anyway, a minute ago you were listening to Guard Your Eyes and, oh, it's Klal Yisrael, it's a terrible addiction, I'm an addict, I'm an addict, I'm an addict, I'm an addict. Well, if I'm not an addict, so then don't tell me I'm not an addict, because if I'm not an addict, then I won't do anything about my problem. But you have a problem, you're so upset about it that you come in and Guard Your Eyes and you cry and you go to the mikveh and you say the Tikkun HaKloli and you learn Reishis Chochma and Taras HaKodesh and the Sefer Yisod Yosef and you learn the Kitzer and you see, oh, you escape like a hint, you know, from the hand, that you read the Psukim that he brings there and this, and you go crazy and it's an issue for you over and over and over. For God's sake, get help. Open up to a trusted Rebbe. Don't let him just, oh yeah, how you doing? Two weeks later, how you doing, Chaim? Is that, you know, that thing we talked about, how's it going? Oh, Rebbe, it's going much better. BS. It's not. You're just ashamed to admit that it's still the same problem because you know that he's going to really not have anything to tell you. And it's embarrassing that you're such a failure and you can't admit the truth to him. And therefore, the relationship continues. Oh, Chaim, it's doing well. And then he'll dance by your chasana with an extra tear of joy because you came so far. We were talking about masturbation 2 years ago, and now look at you. He doesn't realize you're still masturbating. You might not be an addict, but he doesn't realize you're still messed up. You're still not doing anything about your problem, really. You're still doing it. You didn't fix anything yet. You're doing it half as often. Okay. Congratulations. And now you think when you get married, the whole thing's going to go away. Why? Because you start having sex with a real woman? So now all of a sudden the whole problem is going to disappear? The whole masturbation thing's going to disappear? Yeah, it happens once in 20. One out of 20 people, it happens that way. But the other 19, it just gets worse because the sex isn't really going to satisfy you because nothing's as good as fantasy. Obviously. So, who are you kidding? Get help. GETHELP. Get help. You don't have to be an addict to get therapy for an issue in life which is driving you nuts every single day. And when you go through chakras and you're thinking about Tikkun HaBris and you go to this and you're thinking about the fact that you thank God I went to the mikveh again. and you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about that, and every time you sit down with your head on your arm to say tachanun, and you're thinking, oh my God, Rabbanu Shalom, forgive me for the zera levatala, and I was, if that's what's going on, so then it's obviously a very serious and important problem in your life. Get therapy. Find good therapists. Not therapy, and for me, finding a good therapist is simple. Not simple, but it's. I don't mean it's easy. I mean that it's basic, simple process. You go to somebody who is recommended by people who other people who have this problem who got better, who really got better. And you don't go to a therapist who doesn't believe that addiction exists in sex and love, because that means that they're closed-minded, in my opinion. I personally would advise against it, and I have the right to say my opinion, you know? And you also don't go to a therapist who every single person that he talks to who looks at porn, he says, must be an addict. He was also sucked into the, it's a terrible problem in Klal Yisrael. It's an addiction spreading like wildfire. They're all addicts. 3 seconds you watch porn and you can become an addict. and that's it. Then you're an addict. Then everyone's an addict. I mean, come on. You know, so you don't want to find someone who's, oh, I send everybody who comes to me about sex and porn to SA. You're out of your mind. Only a few people of the people on Guard Your Eyes are actually addicts. Only the few people who are actually drinking alcohol are alcoholics. But if it's a big issue for you, if it bothers you, you're drinking alcohol, and you're still drinking anyway, so then that means that the chances are pretty high that you are an alcoholic. Except when it comes to porn, sex, and masturbation, sex with yourself, which is masturbation, is sex with yourself. When it comes to porn and sex with yourself, you know, all this stuff, that does, just because you do it once in a while and because it bothers you a lot doesn't mean that you're necessarily an addict, because Yiddishkeit makes a giant big deal about it. The Sfarim HaKadoshim talk about it huge in different respects. Rabbi Nachman and the whole rest of the thing is the tikkun of the ikar thing with the shishi of the shishi and the spira of the spira and here and there, and this is the oilam that we're in as in the time when it's blah, 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 the Mashiach, blah, blah, blah. It's a huge, giant issue. So it may make you nuts with upsetness that you're not being perfect in this way. And therefore, it becomes a giant issue. And you need to go to a therapist. Not a therapist who's going to help you, ah, throw Judaism out the window, because Judaism is your problem. No, that's not the solution to this problem. The solution to this problem is learning new ideas about how to, number one, control yourself. Number two, be honest with yourself about what's really going on so that you can really learn how to control your environment instead of being a victim, because you're not a victim. Even if things were done to you, you're still not a victim completely. You still have choices. And then creating a situation and tools that you can continuously use. And the guys who, I went to therapy and it didn't work for me, I'm still doing it. 99% chance is you didn't want it to work for you. And it's not a slap in the face. That's just the way it is. Or you're an addict. And no therapy is going to save you. Only God can save you. And that's what the 12 steps is about. That's what you get sitting in a room with a bunch of goyim in SA. God will save you. God will help you. The Ribbono Shel Olam helps those who actually take the right actions. If you're an addict, Hashem will help you. Just because he's sitting with goyim, you know, guess what? Hashem is Soviv Kol Alman and Mamala Kol Alman. He's everywhere. He's even with a bunch of goyim. And guess what? Some of them might be Jews. And guess what? They're sober. Derech Eretz Kadm LaTorah. And it works if you work it, if you're an addict. So getting back to the original stuff. What about dating? What do I say about dating? What do you say when you're on a date? If you're not an addict, so then my question to you is, what help did you get to stop? 90-day wall of honor on Guard Your Eyes? That's not help. You're still calling yourself gingerbread man, you know, 613 chuva turkey, you know, and it's that's how you're going to get help. That's called trying to get help. Well, it's anonymous. That's not anonymous. That's secret. AA and SA are anonymous, because we don't share people outside the group any information about people inside the group. It's anonymous to the outside world. Anonymous doesn't mean that one person who needs help doesn't see the other person and know the other person who knows help. That's not anonymous. That's secret. That's Guard Your Eyes is secret. So it's all pretend. If you're an addict, Guard Your Eyes will not save you, because it's pretend. The relationships are fake. The names are fake. Doesn't that tell you something? You need to use Guard Your Eyes to find real relationships, real recovery relationships with real recovering people. And there are predators on Guard Your Eyes, by the way. There are predators on Guard Your Eyes who will, from predators, who will use Guard Your Eyes in order to solicit sex and lust fantasies and try to get you to say dirty stories so that they can masturbate to them. Absolutely has happened. And on Guard Your Eyes, it has absolutely happened that people have tried to give chizuk, quote unquote, to other people and establish relationships in order to help them ostensibly, but ended up actually messing around with them and getting and ruining marriages. It has happened. It happens everywhere. It's much more rare to happen in SA than it would have been on Guard Your Eyes, of course. Because in SA, no one walks into the room if they're not serious. You'd rather die than walk into the room, wouldn't you? Because you'll say 50 million excuses why you shouldn't go, even though you've determined that you're definitely an addict or you definitely are screwed up and you need severe help. So you see how dishonest we are. Come on. Come on. Let's get real. Let's get real. So if you're not an addict, get help. Unless this issue doesn't really matter to you so much. If the issue doesn't matter to you so much, it doesn't eat you up every day. You don't think about it all the time or very frequently, and you don't define yourself by whether you're clean or not clean. That's like, I spoke to a guy on the phone yesterday. He's a Belcher, but he basically understood whether he's a frum Jew or whether he's classified as a frum Jew or as a not frum Jew. The basic litmus test, clear, simple litmus test, is whether he masturbates or not, whether he masturbated or not. Now, is it, what about Lashon Hara? What about every other aver? What about Shemir Shabbos? The Chafetz Chaim says, and Chelek Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah, if you don't study Hilchos Shabbos on a regular basis, you will guarantee to be over on Derabbanans and possibly even Deraisas on every Shabbos. Don't you? And you see every Jew is studying Hilchos Shabbos? Very few Jews are studying Hilchos Shabbos. I'm sorry, very few. Many of us are being Mechal Shabbos. Are we all not from Jews now? Come on. Be realistic. Doing one avera doesn't define whether you're from or whether you're not from. It's important, but it doesn't define you. One thing doesn't define you. So what's going on over here? You know, if you have a problem and it's serious and it's bothering you, get therapy. Get therapy. Stop. Don't say, oh, if it's not an addiction, then I don't have to do anything about it. What? And just joining a 90-day wall, that may be enough for you. It may. But if you're an addict, it's a joke. Nothing I'm saying is so sir anything that I'm saying on this in this talk. Because it depends. If you're not an addict and you try the 90-day thing and the problem goes away for the most part and it doesn't bother you all the time and you actually, you know, your life is in order and things are normal like everybody else, so then thank God, thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for that. And if it's still a big issue for you and you still find yourself on Guard Your Eyes and you're upset about how you're doing and it's not good and this and that, then get therapy because nothing else is working, buddy. You went to your Rebbe. You don't have the guts to tell him everything, or maybe you did tell him everything and he doesn't know what to say because obviously he didn't help you because here you are still doing it. You need a therapist. Get professionals. There are tons of people who are trained in CSATs. They're trained in understanding this stuff, and they're not going to go turn you into a guy. So find those who are safe and go to them. Get the help you need. If you are an addict, so then why play around? If you are an addict, so then for sure get help. Only for the person who it's not bothering you anymore because you went on Guard Your Eyes, you did your top six shavuot, you did your 90-day wall, you're sober 763 days, quote-unquote sober, you're clean 763 days, and you feel great, and life is Baruch Hashem good. And maybe you, quote-unquote, fail once, but once every 763 days, that's pretty good. Now, if for you that's a giant tragedy, so then you have a problem because I'm not saying you're nuts that you're making a tragedy of it. That's not for me to judge. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that if it feels like a big tragedy to you, then it is. Take it seriously. You know, if Saddam Hussein says he's going to wipe Israel off the map, for God's sake, take him seriously. If you think that this is a huge problem for you and you go define yourself by it, and then obviously you have a lust problem of some kind. You have a problem with self-control. You need help with Kavisha Sayetzer. Get help from a therapist to be Kavish Yitzricha. But if you are an addict, so then get help from a therapist. And if the therapist tries to help you be koivish as yitzricha and it doesn't work, and you go to another therapist and they put you on medication and it improves a little bit, but then you get worse and worse and worse, and it doesn't work. And then you realize you're probably an addict because you tried everything else. So then if you're an addict, come to 12 steps, you know. And if you have a problem with any of the steps, give me a call. Email me at wequithiding2@gmail.com and just discuss it with me or with anybody else that you want to. You know, find out the truth. Maybe you're right and there's a problem with 12 steps for you. Maybe you're wrong and there isn't a problem, but get 12 steps help. And, you know, so now who are you? You're on a date. You've dated. It's the sixth date. It's the fifth date. You're supposed to be telling them the truth now. Until now, it's all a game. Now you're supposed to be telling them the truth. So then what are you going to do now? Oh, what do I tell her? You know? So if you use the word addict, you're dead in the water for two reasons. One, if you are not an addict and you use the word addict, number one, that's idiotic. Number two, it's suicidal because what did you just say to her? Maybe she sees addict and it means something different to her than it means to you. As soon as she calls her parents, if her parents know anything about 12 steps, which they may, trust me, they don't know. He's a Rush Colo. Guess what? A Rush Colo came to me last year. Maybe it was a year and a half ago. He came, a Rush Colo in a very nice Jewish city, I mean a real Rosh Kolo, Peyas Arayis, the whole thing, came to me from 200 miles away to spend the day talking because he's having sex with prostitutes on a regular basis. And he's being Mechaber Sfarim, by the way. And he is a Mechaber Sfarim. So don't tell me that, oh, just because the girl's father is a Rosh Kolo, they don't know anything about it. You never know. Okay, so you're not an addict and you use the word addiction, I'm on guard your eyes because of an addiction. I have an addiction because I can't stop masturbating forever. I masturbated once a year and therefore you see that I'm an addict because I can't stop, right? That's the definition on guard your eyes, isn't it? Well, okay. You know, so you were just sucker punched into misunderstanding something, you know. Now, you just told her that. She knows about 12 steps. She tells her parents, he said he's got an addiction. To them, that means once an addict, always an addict, which is also not true necessarily. Even in AA and SA and NA, that's not a main mantra of the program that applies in all situations, but it has a specific purpose, that idea, which is called humility. Except saying once an addict, always an addict forever, and they're always going to be the same, and that's it, finished. That's just not true. So that's one. And number two, a lot of people think when you say you're an addict, that means you're a child molester. That means the ceiling's the limit. You know, not the ceiling. The sky's the limit. You know, you're a hopeless, dangerous person for my daughter to go out with. Forget it. They're going to break off the shidduch in a perfectly good marriage and a perfectly good thing, and you're no different than the next guy that she's going to be dating, who's also masturbating every now and then, you know? So what did you just do? What did you do? My God, what did you just do? Don't use the word addict. If you're going to be honest, don't hide behind terms, which is so much more comfortable. Get realistic and honest. Oh, but it's not sneeze. What am I supposed to tell her? That I unzip my pants and I do this? No. You tell her the truth, that you struggle with tithes like many people do. And you spoke with your Rebbe about it. And he said that dozens of guys have come to him already in yeshiva and said the same thing, even the best guys. So I shouldn't feel so bad, but I should remain honest with him about exactly what's going on and what I did and what I'm thinking and trying different things in order to really be in control and learning what attitudes will help me, you know, stop doing these things completely, you know, and be a very healthy, good yid. fine. To me, that makes sense. To me, that's called honesty. Hiding it from her makes no sense if it's a serious problem for you. Not if guard your eyes makes it a serious problem. If you make it a serious problem, if to you it's a serious issue, if you've been on guard your eyes and you're sweating and you're doing this and you're clicking and you're writing and you're this thing and you're listening to calls and you're working on it and this, it's going to be a part of your life after you're married too. This is an important part of your life. Anything that's an important part of your life, you should be sharing with the girl that you're going to date, because it's the truth. It's the reality. You need to stop lying, isolating, and faking. It's time to be real. But you don't go say, I'm an addict. I have an addiction. Because Robert Tversky said, 3 seconds you watch porn, you can become an addict. So then I watched for 300 billion seconds, so I'm an addict for sure. That's not logical. Excuse me. That's not logic. Guard Your Eyes uses that kind of hyping and stuff to try to impress on the people who they're fundraising from what kind of a giant problem this is. They're using this kind of hyping to the people who call in with problems to pull them in and say, hey, buddy, you may be an addict. Take it more seriously. Stay on the website. Learn things. Work things. Stick around. Try things out. You may be in serious trouble. I can't blame Guard Your Eyes for saying these things, but for many people who are like sheep, they get sucked into this stuff, and they misinterpret this stuff, just like they misinterpret Zohar's, Chazal's all over the place, and everything else. It's not Guard Your Eyes' fault, but don't be confused. Don't remain confused, you know? So, yes, be honest. But really be honest. Don't use terms that you yourself don't even understand, and she certainly doesn't. And then you have to explain it to her. Pirkei Avos, don't say something that you can't really be understood because you're going to explain it later. Don't do that on a date. You might want to do it in a schmooze. I do it because I'm assuming people will listen to the end of the talk and get what I'm saying. Except you can't do that on a date. That's cruel. And it's silly. Poor judgment. Don't do that. Say the truth. And the truth will be okay. The truth will things will be okay if you say the truth. Things will be really bad if you say something like the truth. It's not going to be good. So that has to be understood. If you are an addict and you are in recovery, going to 12-step groups and therapy and or therapy, taking medication even perhaps, and this and that, and you're sober for such and such a period of time, yes, it's always much, much better if you're sober for a year or 2 years, you know, that's impressive, and it sounds like it's not really such a bad problem to her, and, you know, or it is a problem, but you've got it under control because you're working a spiritual program, and you're getting the help that you need, and whatever it is, and that's okay, you know, that's okay for many girls, for many women, you know, so they understand that, you know, and if you're really honest about the progress that you're making in recovery and you don't paint it with a nice brush, how do you know you're being honest and you're telling the truth? It's very simple. The next day, if you act out, you know you were lying to her. That's all. Because you were trying to impress her and you were making up all kinds of BS. You know? And you got all puffed up and arrogant now and you feel like a million bucks. And she trusts me and it's great and I'm a great guy. You are a great guy, but when you puff up your chest like that, you're going to end up acting out if you're an addict, because arrogance causes us to act out. So that's one way to know if you were playing the games, you know, and minimizing and, you know, whatever. So just keep those things in mind. If you're honest with her and if you are an addict and you're doing SA and meetings and recovery and stuff, so then, yeah, you know, there's going to be a point where you obviously have to tell the prospective Kala, this is your prospective wife you're talking to here. What date should you start getting honest on? I don't know. But when the date comes, what are you going to surprise her after you're married that you're an addict and that you need to go to meetings for at least another few years, maybe for the rest of your life? You know, you don't know, but you can't just gloss over it. James Bond, secretly go to meetings, you know, it's not going to work. That's not going to happen, okay? So what are you going to do? You're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to tell. Okay, so get ready, you know, try writing it out. I frequently tell married guys this, that before, you know, they're ready to tell their wife, they know they have to tell their wife, they have to go to a therapist, or they have to go to meetings, they can't hide that from their wife, and she's going to find out eventually, and they don't know how long they can put it off. I say, wait a minute. Write down a letter to your wife. Don't give it to her now. Write down a letter to your wife describing your whole problem, honestly, without using terms. I have a terrible addiction. I'm an addict. I'm a pervert. I'm a this. Don't put names to yourself. Just describe your struggles from the very beginning. This happened to me, and I did this, and I saw this, and I did that, and I reacted this way, and I did that, and it became a habit, and it drove me nuts for years. And here I am. And this is what's been happening, and I've been doing X, Y, and Z. And every time I do it, I feel embarrassed, and I feel horrible, and I feel so guilty, and I just am too embarrassed and ashamed to tell you, because I've always felt that if I tell you, you're never going to love me again, and you're going to hate me, and you're going to this and that, and therefore I just couldn't bring myself to tell you. And now I see that I was so wrong, because all that happened was I hid it from you and hid it from you and hid it from you, and it made me worse. It didn't just not go away. The lying made me worse. And in fact, the lying is the worst part of it. And you write it down, and you tell the truth, and you write it down. And if she ever catches you red-handed with the schmutz and this and that, you'll produce this letter, and you'll say, well, here's a letter I wrote a year and a half ago, and I just didn't have the guts to give it to you. At least she'll see what's been going on, and that you weren't dishonest to her because you wanted to be dishonest, and it was fun, and you were laughing behind her back. Oh yeah, I'm going to the grocery store. I'll be back a little later, and then you call and you say, oh, I couldn't find the tomato sauce, so I went to the other supermarket to get the tomato. In the meantime, you're looking at schmucks here and there on the phone or whatever. You're lying to her, and it's a joke, and you're laughing about it. No, she sees that's not what happened, that you were struggling and going out of your mind for years. I acted out for 11 years in my marriage. 11 years. 10 years until my wife caught me. I got sober a year and a half after my wife caught me. Getting caught by my wife didn't stop me. You know, getting therapy and medication didn't stop me either. But that's because I'm an addict. There are a lot of you folks who therapy, even without medication, will help. And medication without therapy will help. And medication and therapy will help. There are a lot of you who are not addicts, and these things will fix you. Maybe you'll need some therapy to learn how to live right, except there's nothing horrible about that. Get the help you need. You know, so, you know, what do you tell the woman you're dating with? Well, that's connected to what do you tell the woman you're married to, or the man you're married to, if you're a lady. What do you tell your spouse? That's connected very much to what do you tell a girl or a guy you're dating with about this. It's, you know, you don't blurt it out on the first date, because obviously you don't blurt out the fact that you're, you know, whatever, that your father's in jail on the first date. I don't know. But that you have a brother in jail on the first date. Okay, you don't necessarily tell her that on the first date. But, you know, that he was put in jail for murder. Okay, you know, you don't tell her on the first date. you know, but you have a big secret. So whenever you start being honest, then she'll be honest with her stuff, because everybody's got stuff. Okay? So, you know, honesty, you know. When the time comes, don't use titles and hide behind terms and things. Say the truth in a respectful, simple way, and admit that the truth, that, you know, if you're not an addict, you know, so then admit the truth that, you know, you're pretty much like most people, you think, and that's what people tell you, except that you're working on it and some other people are not, you know, and that you spoke to your Rebbe about it, and that you spoke to your rabbi about it, and that, you know, you're getting help, because you're not going to be able to hide it when you're married anyhow. And if you're thinking you wish you could, then you don't understand what marriage is about yet. And you're not ready to be married, and you shouldn't be dating. Write it down. Practice saying it. Role play it with your therapist, if you're going to a therapist, or with a close friend, a chaver neman, if you have one, you know. This is important. Don't cover it up with fake terms, and don't gloss over details, you know. But that also doesn't mean you have to be in poor taste and go describe every single act exactly how you do it. You got to use a little seichel here, and I can't give that to you or me or anybody else. I'm not sure how much of it I have myself, so anyway, even if I could. But again, you know, if you are an addict and you're in recovery, so then speak to other people in recovery who have dated and get their experience. Get their valuable, precious experience and ask them, what did you tell your date? And she married you anyway? What did you tell her? How did you say it? What was her reaction? What did you react to her reaction? Get their experience. We in program don't hide from each other. We open up to each other completely about everything. Get the help. Get the experience. Speak to other people who have been in that parsha too. Okay? And that will help you a lot. Hatzlacha Rabba. There are probably some important things that I left out of this. There may be a part two to this. I'm sorry that I went on a long ge'arichas about the relationships and honesty and this and that. But I think that that's all very, very important as a background and a basis upon which this stuff is built, you know. If you're not clean, then should you be dating at all? I know Guard Your Eyes has these formulas. A year, you should be waiting a year. You shouldn't be dating if you're not clean a year. Rabbi Twersky Paskin, blah, 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 blah. Rabbi Twersky wouldn't just Paskin for everybody. He's giving advice. That's all. He only Paskins on cases where he knows all the facts. He never Paskins, this is how long. It's called advice. Eitz Tova Kamash Malan. Okay, so don't go out of your mind about that, but it's a serious matter, and it needs a decision. So get some help to make the right decision. If you have to hide it from the woman that you're going to date with, then you're not ready. To me, that's even more of a psak factor, you know. If you have to lie, then you're not ready anyway. So who are you kidding? You know? But that doesn't mean you can't role play and try to work it out so that you can tell, you know? As far as describing all the details of everything, including the worst possible thing you've done, I don't think that it's necessary, personally, to tell every single thing you've ever done. And how many times you've done it and all that. That's something you should take up with your advisor. That's an important thing to discuss. Personally, I think the important thing is to say the general fact, which is that you struggle with lust and sex behaviors, and that you're getting advice and you're working on it, and describe what you're doing to fix the problem. Honestly, describe it. Describe what you're doing to fix the problem. You know? But if she asks you, have you ever had sex with another woman or with a man or with whatever, you cannot lie to this person. You cannot lie to this person. You've got to tell them the truth. So that's the difference. If they ask, you can't lie, because that's starting off things on a very bad basis. That's grounds for not marrying and for not dating either, if you can't tell the truth. But if they don't ask you and you admit that, you know, that you have these problems, that, you know, the best thing to be able to do is to say the truth and clarify certain things you haven't done. You know, I've never had sex with another person. I've never been involved with another person physically doing any of these things. You know, but I struggle with pornography and masturbation. And this is something that I've opened up to about these people, and that, and they're helping me in this way. And this is the progress that I've made. You know, try that, okay? Instead of using some title and some, you know, whatever, magic words, okay? Anyway, Hatzlacha Rabba, tefillah is very important, obviously. So we'll say, Elohai, Nitzor Lushoni Mera, Usfosai Midabir Mirma. And daven for speaking truth and the ability to say things right. Daven for it. Ask him for help. Everybody have a good day.